Letter from Paradise. 21 degrees 19 minutes north, 157 degrees 52 minutes west. By Joan Didion. Every afternoon now, 25 years after the fact, the bright pink tour boats leave Coelho Basin for Pearl Harbor. It has a kind of sleazy festivity. The prospect of an outing on a fine day, the passengers comparing complaints about their tour directors and their accommodations and the food at Canless Charcoal Broiler. The boys diving for coins around the boats. "Hey, Mr. Big," they scream. "How's about a coin?" Sometimes a woman will throw a bill and then be outraged when the insolent brown bodies pluck it from the air and jeer at her expectations. As the boat leaves the basin, the boys swim back, their cheeks stuffed with money, and the children pout that they would rather be at the beach, and the women in their new Liberty House shifts and leftover lays sip papaya juice and study a booklet billed as An Ideal Gift, Picture Story of December 7th. It is, after all, a familiar story that we have come to hear. Familiar even to the children, for of course they have seen John Wayne and John Garfield at Pearl Harbor, have spent countless rainy afternoons watching Kirk Douglas and Spencer Tracy and Van Johnson wonder out loud why Hickam does not answer this morning, and no one listens very closely to the guide. Sugarcane now blows where the Nevada went aground. An idle figure practices putting on Ford Island. The concessionaire breaks out more papaya juice. It is hard to remember what we came to remember. And then something happens. I took that bright pink boat to Pearl Harbor on two afternoons, but I still do not know what I went to find out, which is how other people respond a quarter of a century later. I do not know because there was a point at which I began to cry and to notice no one else. I began to cry at the place where the Utah lies in 50 feet of water. Water neither turquoise nor bright blue here, but the gray of harbor waters everywhere, and I did not stop until after the pink boat had left the Arizona, or what is visible of the Arizona, the rusted after-gun turret breaking the gray water, the flag at full mast because the Navy considers the Arizona still in commission, a full crew aboard, 1,102 men from 49 states. All I know about how other people respond is what I am told, that everyone is quiet at the Arizona. A few days ago, someone just 4 years younger than I am told me that he did not see why a sunken ship should affect me so, that John Kennedy's assassination, not Pearl Harbor, was the single most indelible event of what he kept calling our generation. I could tell him only that we belong to different generations, and I did not tell him what I want to tell you about a place in Honolulu that is quieter still than the Arizona, the National Memorial Cemetery of the Pacific. They all seem to be 20 years old, the boys buried up there in the crater of an extinct volcano named Punchbowl, 20 and 19 and 18, and sometimes not that old. Samuel Foster Harmon, one stone reads, Pennsylvania, private, 27th Replacement Draft, 5th Marine Division, World War II, April 10th, 1928, March 25th, 1945. Samuel Foster Harmon died at Iwo Jima, 15 days short of his 17th birthday. Some of them died on 7 December, and some of them died after the Enola Gay had already bombed Hiroshima, and some of them died on the dates of the landings at Okinawa and Iwo Jima and Guadalcanal, and one whole long row of them, I am told, died on the beach of an island we no longer remember. There are 19,000 graves in the vast sunken crater above Honolulu. I would go up there quite a bit. If I walked to the rim of the crater, I could see the city, look down over Waikiki and the harbor and the jammed arterials, but up there it was quiet and high enough into the rainforest so that a soft mist falls most of the day. One afternoon a couple came and left 3 plumeria lays on the grave of a California boy who had been killed at 19 in 1945. The leis were already wilting by the time the woman finally placed them on the grave, because for a long time she only stood there and twisted them in her hands. On the whole, I am able to take a very long view of death, but I think a great deal about what there is to remember 21 years later of a boy who died at 19. I saw no one else there but the men who cut the grass and the men who dig new graves, for they are bringing in bodies now from Vietnam. The graves filled last week and the week before that and even last month do not yet have stones, only plastic identification cards, streaked by the mist and splattered with mud. The earth is raw and trampled in that part of the crater, but the grass grows fast up there in the rain cloud.